Class of 89.
See any family resemblance? Feeding time? Soul food for my boy.
Thanks for tuning in to Class of 89 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 30 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of the vault over here at Fangoria, and this is the final installment of our three-part series on A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. Our guest today is special effects artist Rick Lazzarini. Rick talks about his surprise when he was asked back to work on a nightmare movie after his work on Freddy's Revenge involving a demonic parakeet, working with Adam Jones, who would later go on to be the guitarist for Tool, and how he became a member of the very exclusive club of people who have played Freddy Krueger on screen. Before we get to Rick's amazing stories, I want to tell you about Fangoria Magazine. This year, Fangoria Magazine turns 40 years old, and the relaunch magazine is back with each collectible coffee table-worthy issue packed with 100 pages of exclusive, carefully curated content honoring horror's past, present, and future. These articles and interviews are going to be what everyone is talking about, and they will never be published online, ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. The only way to read them is by getting your hands on a physical copy of your own. So head to Fangoria.com to learn more and subscribe. Use the promo code CLASSOF, that's CLASSOF, CLASSOF, to get 15% off your first year of Fango. Go to Fangoria.com and subscribe today. And I want to tell you about Pinsploitation. Get your horror and cult pins and patches fix at this incredible store. Pinsploitation specializes in horror accessories from cult films like Fade to Black, New Year's Evil, Tourist Trap, Alice Sweet Alice, and more. Many of Pinsploitation's offerings are limited editions and come with extra horror goodies. So give them a follow at Pinsploitation on Instagram and Facebook, and shop till you drop at pinsploitation.bigcartel.com. Now, let's get into Rick Lazzarini's stories from his work on The Dream Child. Your career is just unbelievable. It is amazing. You worked on Spaceballs. You are actually Pizza the Hut. You did Snakes on a Plane. Yes. You did all the snakes on Snakes on a Plane. You did The Facehugger in Aliens, The Queen Alien in Aliens, The Beast in Sandlot, which freaked me out when I was a kid. I love that movie so much. And it's just crazy to think that you've created all of these things. And you yourself are a Freddy veteran. You worked on Freddy's Revenge. Were you...
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So you've done all of this before, and this podcast specifically focuses on The Dream Child, the fifth installment in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Now, coming from Freddy's Revenge, were you excited about working on another Nightmare film?
Oh, absolutely. For a couple reasons. One is, you know, the whole Freddy franchise was tremendously popular, you know, high up on anybody's horror film list. It was great to be associated with. So for that alone, you know, excitement. Number two is that I was glad to be asked back, because having worked on the second one, there were a couple effects that I did that didn't turn out so good. There was a couple that did, but they didn't work out so good because I was moonlighting on that while I was working on Aliens. So that's a mistake I made sure I don't make again. So I was gratified to be asked back and you know, promised to give it my all, my undivided attention.
Yes, wow. Working on Aliens and Freddy's Revenge at the same time was probably exhausting.
Yeah, it was, yes.
I'm curious now, what effects were you not, like, thrilled about in Freddy's Revenge?
The cool stuff that I did were these two dogs with baby heads.
Oh.
They were very disturbing looking, and that was successful. The one that really sucked was a demonic parakeet.
Oh.
Now, how do you, okay, first of all, how do you make a parakeet demonic in the first place?
Right.
Right? You know, that's a tough concept to do, and I should have spent more time on it. But in the end, it was, I brought it on set and they were like, oh, what is this? I was like, this is the demonic parakeet. And they're like, okay, we'll shoot it, but it sucks.
Oh.
And I admit that, you know, actually it wasn't bad as a sculpture and so forth, but trying to make a bird flutter and move, you kind of wish CGI was able to help out there. But again, 30 years ago, it wasn't there. So right. I did my best, and everybody, you know, screws up a little when they're early in their career.
Oh, yeah. And like, come on, parakeets are just always cute. Like, let's be honest. That's hard to make creepy.
Yeah.
Well, The Dream Child was an incredibly special effects heavy movie. There, you were working on it. The KMB guys were working on it. Alan Monroe, Chris Briggs, the original creator of Freddy, David Miller, was working on it. Todd Masters. This movie was crazy effects heavy. Which project did you specifically helm?
For that one, it's like an effects dream team for the Dream Child, isn't it?
It really is.
We had a scene where the gal is getting an ultrasound, and you go into her body. And there in the womb, in her womb, is this fetus gestating. And it's kind of suspended in there, wafting around. But there, ensconced in the wall of the womb, is Freddy. So we made this, it's a very complex effect. You know, we had the set piece of the womb. We had an animatronic baby. We had an umbilical cord going to it that had to move. We had the Freddy Krueger prosthetic, you know, quite a lot in just the one scene.
Yeah, definitely. And like talking about scale, like how big was that?
Probably, my gosh, probably about 10 feet wide by 10 feet, you know, about a 10-foot circle that was maybe about 6 feet high.
So that was a pretty... complicated and big set piece to build, especially for a scene that's like, you know, it's pretty quick in the movie actually, but I think it's one of the cooler scenes in that film just because it is so weird, and then Freddy's just like in her womb and it's like, whoa.
Right.
But you are actually you are that Freddy in that scene, aren't you?
And you know what, it's for the same reason that I got to be Pizza the Hut in Spaceballs. I keep getting these cool jobs because people keep chickening out. you know, because originally in Spaceballs, one guy had played Pizza the Hut. Then they wanted reshoots, and he said, "I'm not getting in that goddamn thing again."
Mm.
So they said, "Hey, Rick, you're a sucker, right? you want to get in? Yes, I'll get in it."
Yes.
So in this case, to have a Freddy prosthetic ensconced in the wall of this womb meant somebody had to be glued in there for like 10 to 13 hours. Mm. And Robert Englund was not about to be glued into the wall of a set for 13 hours.
Mm.
So I volunteered for that. And once I was in, I could not get out. But I, you know, I had a very good Freddy likeness done, and I wore a special contact. So, there I was, stuck in the wall of this womb, 13 hours. Well, we shot.
It definitely was probably very difficult, but at the same time, you get to say, you're one of the rare people who get to say they played Freddy Krueger in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's true. It's true. There's not many people that can say that. You know, obviously, Robert Englund can say that, and you know, the guy from the sequels, and a few stuntmen that, you know, wore the makeup. Hey, I got a speaking part. It's Freddy Krueger.
That's right. That's right. You had a line in that, too.
I did say a couple things. Now my mind is blanking. What did I say? Oh, it's feeding time.
Yes.
Was one of my lines.
That is so cool that, you know, it really is a rare club to be able to say I played Freddy Krueger, and you are part
of
the club.
Right.
And another weird thing is that Adam Jones, the guitarist for Tool, was actually working with you at the time. And he's responsible for that Freddy appliance in that scene, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the craziest thing. Here's this, I've got this talented young kid named Adam Jones, and he's a remarkable artist. He's very funny. He's lean and lanky. and he sculpted the Freddy prosthetic. And he's just a magnificent sculptor. And you just look back on it and you go, well, wait, hold on. We never knew that he was destined for, like, superstardom to be the guitarist with Tool. It's like having a rock and roll god puppy, you know? And then Adam went to work at other places as well, besides my shop, and he was working at Stan Winston Studios.
Mm.
And he told them, he goes, hey, listen, we're getting this record contract. You know, this is going to be Tool. And John Rosengrant was the supervisor where they're going, hey, buddy, forget about it, man. Those things never work out. And he was trying to tell him not to do it, not to take it. And so Adam, thank God his instincts were right. You know.
Wow. Another special effects legend, John Rosengrant, telling Adam Jones, right? Don't do it, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. No way, man. You're going to be sorry. Wow. I don't think he's sorry.
No, I don't think so either. I think he's quite happy. Well, so many crazy things, you know, just happened with this movie. And it was a feat in itself to make The Dream Child. I mean, director Stephen Hopkins had literally had 8 weeks to shoot and edit this movie. And that is an insane timeline.
Crazy schedule.
So what was it like on the set? Was it just like everyone was just working 24/7 trying to get this thing done?
It had to have been because of that. But here's the deal. I got to meet Stephen Hopkins once. He was zooming across set, and I was there to talk with Alan Monroe about the effect I was supposed to do. And Stephen just kind of stopped. He goes, "Ah, it's the famous Mr. Lazzarini." And I said, "Oh, hey, you know, good to meet you." And he goes, "Hey, glad to have you working with us." And then he zoomed off,
and
then that was it. And then that was it because we did our stuff second unit. We weren't part of the main unit, so I didn't. Maybe thankfully, I wasn't privy to the chaos and the pressure of that. We were on our own little stage, you know, in Van Nuys, and got to shoot in relative calm. I mean, Alan Monroe is the coolest visual effects supervisor I've ever worked with. Kept things very, very, very cool, calm, and collected, even though we did have a long shooting day that day.
If I could go back in a time machine, I'd bake you all cookies and be like, I'm sorry. But it turned out to be a really cool installment in the Freddy franchise. I think it's definitely one of the more surreal interpretations of any Freddy tale. It's very topical. It's very gothic and dark, and I think a lot of people remember it for that, and especially all the special effects, you know, because they had so many special effects crews going at the same time for the different parts of the movie, and it's just crazy. Do you have like a favorite memory of working on The Dream Child?
I guess my favorite memory of working on that show was kind of also my unfavorite memory. I mean, there I was. I knew I was playing Freddy Krueger, and that was just like I was tickled to do that. But at the same time, being glued in there, and my guys and everybody on set knew that I was glued in there, they were torturing me. they were poking me and tickling me and slapping me,
oh my God.
You know, from behind.
Of course.
Knowing full well there's not a damn thing I could do about it. I just had to take it. And I'd be like laughing and like, knock it off. I'm going to kick your ass when I get out of here.
Yeah, right. It's like you can do it all you want until I get out.
they'll say, you know, you don't even know who's doing this. You can't see us. That was great memory.
Yeah, I mean, it must be so fun to be able to work with your friends, and especially, you know, when you're doing a Freddy Krueger movie, that's pretty awesome. And even though you did suffer for your role, it's still a great memory and one that you can always say that you did and can point to and be like, hey, that's not Robert Englund. That's Rick Lazzarini right there.
Yeah, I had a great crew, you know, Shannon Shea.
Oh,
was on
Shannon
my crew.
Shea, okay.
Yeah. Shannon Shea was on the crew, and Adam and Jim Cagle, you know, very veteran, famous sculptor, Jim Cagle, who worked on The Thing. And actually, there's another funny story. You know, Jim is the legendary veteran sculptor, and then Adam Jones comes in as sort of the young whippersnapper. and Adam gets handed the Freddy face, which is, you know, pretty much the coolest job to do.
Yeah.
And so, meanwhile, Jim Cagle is sculpting this vortex, this sort of like twisted funnel entrance to the womb, and we called it the butthole. Hey, you finished sculpting that butthole yet, Jim? And so Jim had a thing. You know how an artist will like, he'll like take his thumb and like look at something mm-hmm. with his thumb and then bring it over to his artwork, you know, to kind of gauge the scale.
Yeah.
So Jim would like look at his thumb and look at Adam, and then he would take his thumb and look at the butthole. Like, am I getting this right? Is the resemblance, accurate?
I guess that's the way he dealt with getting the butt of the job, really.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He was the butt end of the horsey costume.
Oh my gosh. Poor Jim.
Yeah.
Did you actually go back once the film was done and released? Did you watch it in its entirety?
I think there was a cast and crew screening. 30 years ago, I can't remember, but I did, yeah, and I loved it, you know. Again, it was like another exhilarating turn on the Freddy thrill ride, you know.
Yeah.
Let's see what goes on this time, and I wasn't disappointed. I dug it.
As we were talking, like, this is the special effects dream team on this movie, and you're definitely mm-hmm. a special effects legend, and it's really cool to see that piece that you contributed to it, and you actually got to be Freddy himself, which is so cool. And
I know. It's a whole bunch of goodness all rolled into one.
Yeah, right?
And I would get, you know, whenever I'd work on cool, scary movies like that, I would get profiled in Fangoria.
Yeah, exactly.
So a bonus.
Exactly. I know your name pops up all the time when I go back and read, you know, the old issues. It's like Rick Lazzarini here. And when I was actually doing research for The Dream Child, I was like, oh man, Rick Lazzarini worked on this movie. Like, I need to reach out to him and pick his brain about what it was like in that moment in time working on that film. And it's just such a fun story. And I'm sure our audience really appreciates hearing from you. And you've been working like a madman, like, this entire time. You have the character shop and, you know, you're constantly working on stuff. What can you tell us about some of the things you're working on right now?
Right now, there's one project that's super secret.
Ooh.
It's like I'm in the CIA and I have to sign these non-disclosure agreements.
Ooh.
And I can't tell anybody unless I have to kill them.
But what I can say is that
one is it's an animatronic musical band.
Oh my god.
That's all I can say.
Oh my god.
Yep. But you can't try and guess it or anything. Let the audience, you know, speculate and germinate on that. Another thing is a walking crab for a movie.
Okay.
We're talking about how to make this crab walk on the sand. And cool. Since I did the running face hugger.
Yes, that's right.
For aliens.
Did you use that technique again?
Yeah. Maybe something or something similar. I also did like a walking lobster for a couple of Budweiser ads back in the 90s. So I've got that little critter walk experience. Sid from Slipknot called and wants a custom mask made.
Oh.
So hopefully that can be a cool thing.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, your career is so funny. You have like the section of cute things that you've done.
Yes.
And then you have like all the scary ass things.
I think I've leaned later on in my career to the more cutesy stuff, because that means there's not as much blood to clean up after a scene.
You know what? That is true. It's a lot of work to clean up fake blood. It really is. Well, I am really excited about that project, that super top secret that involves animatronic band things.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I think I have an idea of what that is, and I am like so stoked right now. Very excited for that, and can't wait for more revelations in the future to come.
More news on that.
Yes. Well, Rick, I have one more question for you, and it is a question I ask all of our graduates of 1989, And that is, what advice would you give yourself 30 years ago?
What advice would I give to myself 30 years ago? I guess get a time machine and I'd say get hair plugs, Rick. get hair plugs early and then you won't go bald. Oh. No, I would say stay enthusiastic. Because my enthusiasm, I think I still am, but my enthusiasm then was just off the charts. It was just yes, yes, yes to everything. Mm. But at the same time, temper it with realistic expectations. So don't overpromise, but overdeliver. Mm, you know?
That is a great mantra.
Right?
I love that.
And I've kind of been doing that, but, you know, 30 years ago, it would have been nice to have somebody tell me that and go, hey, I recognize that as a good scheme going forward.
I love that. I love that. Well, I hope all of our listeners out there take that to heart and that it's that's a great thing to keep in the back of your mind, whatever your line of work is. So, excellent work.
And if I could give any advice to anybody out there now and they are doing this kind of thing, just do it. Just build stuff. Don't let obstacles get in your way. Just figure it out and make it happen. If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You'll learn from that mistake, and you'll be better on the next time around.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. See, like you can, that's even a parable for your time in the Freddy universe. If one thing doesn't work out in Freddy's Revenge, it's going to work out in the Dream Child.
It will. It will.
Awesome, Rick. Well, that is great. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk about your time on The Dream Child.
You're welcome. I had a blast doing it, and I had a blast talking with you today.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 89. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 89 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original produced and hosted by Natasha Pacetta, executive producers Dallas Saunier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safavimer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pacetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Winardi, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.